Greetings for iUniverse. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled, Look What Happened to My Pocket Change, Low to Middle Income Saving and Investing. And joining me from the Chicago area in the United States, Rochelle Melanie, my guest author. Welcome to the program, Rochelle.
Thank you, Dan.
You have an interesting story just on your own. You are a person not that just talked about finances, but also have experienced some methods of improving your lifestyle, correct?
That's correct.
You started out as a teller in a banking institution. Share a little more of your story and the inspiration behind putting this book into print.
Many years ago, I always wanted to work for a financial institution, and basically the easiest way in was to become a teller. And I remember many years ago applying for the position. Actually, I applied over the phone when interviews during those days was much easier. And I got in as a teller and pretty much moved up the ranks pretty quick, just learning everything there was to know about banking. And from being a teller, I ended up going to customer service and then a personal banker. And from there, senior banker, branch manager, investment rep, trust, everything. So it kind of just elevated from there. Starting as a teller, you know, I didn't know that 25 years later I would still be in the financial institutions, but it's been a great run, and it's something that I enjoy, and I've learned quite a bit from it. So
your beginnings with family, yeah, you were born into a very wealthy family, though, weren't you?
No, not at all. Actually, middle-class family back in the 70s. I had, my mother and father and three siblings. And my mother and father, I remember, going to work, working very hard every day. And the incomes were average. It was not a wealthy family at all. Just the incomes together kind of made it a little above middle income. But that was a great platform because seeing my mother and father go to work every day and knowing what I needed to do to establish myself, that this was a good upbringing, but not wealthy at all.
I was only teasing, but you have included in your book the importance of work ethic, and you learned that from your parents, apparently.
Yes, I did. My mother and father, like I said, every day they got up, they went to work. They had various jobs. My father, actually, he was at his company for 30 years, General Motors, and he just, every morning there was no complaints or anything like that. I just got up and went to work. And then my mother also, holding down the household, she also went to work every day, and she taught us the importance of working, paying bills, and, just doing the best you can.
You talk about pocket change in your book. That seems to be the fundamental challenge for most of us. We have pocket change, we lose it or don't pay attention to it. What is your advice for people and pocket change?
Well, it's kind of amazing. It's somewhat unbelievable, but actually in the 70s, 80s, just growing up, you didn't have a lot of income. You didn't know a lot about savings and investing, and therefore, we all had pocket change, and the importance of that is to, I set aside the pocket change. I had a piggy bank that I started off with, and because pocket change is so easy to come by, I just started accumulating the pocket change, and once a year, once my piggy bank got full, I graduated to a larger bank, and then I took it into the bank, had it counted, and amazingly, after a year, I think it came out to about $1,500 or something like that.
Wow.
And so that's actually what started my savings account, opened a savings account. I continued to save the pocket change, but opened a savings account, and as I worked, I added, funds, whatever I could, to that. Not having a lot to save, pocket change, it kind of equated to, it made a big deal, made a big difference.
You have chapters like Where Does Wealth Come From? Just some basic information there. Why Life Needs Organization? I think every one of us can benefit from that. The Benefits of a Good Work Ethic and Credit and Paying Your Bills. Banks, finance companies, and here's one that seems to sneak up on a few people, loan stores. What is your observation of loan stores?
Well, in a lot of the, I find, low to middle income neighborhoods, you find loan stores all over the place because it's evident is that people get behind in their bills and they need a quick way out. A lot of times, they're not in a position to think rationally or logically, and the first thing they think about is a loan store because these stores kind of offer funding to individuals in dire need.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals that probably cannot get a loan or help from a financial institution. So therefore, this is the quickest way out. And I'm just not fond of loan stores because also the regulation for those stores are quite different from a bank. I've had friends, families that borrow money from a loan store and they end up with a 27% or 36% interest rate. I even had friends that maybe borrowed and put up a car title from, you know, for a loan. And end up losing a car. You send a car that's valued at about $9,000, $10,000 for a $1,500 loan.
Ouch.
And I just think they prey on the less fortunate.
I happen to agree with you. I've had some acquaintances that worked in that industry, for very long, but there seems to be a predatory aspect to the loan stores. I've heard of interest rates as high as 40%. People need to be aware of that, need to be aware of their surroundings, need to be aware of their finances, and need to be aware of what decisions they're making on the spur of the moment or in a crisis.
Yes, exactly.
When you begin to write your book, who was your target audience? Who did you want to reach with your message?
You know, actually, I started off targeting minorities, but then that changed because also we know there's more than just minorities that's having financial crisis and debt problems and things like that. So basically, my target is basically low to middle income individuals. It doesn't matter what racial, ethnic group, you know, they're made up of, but just low to middle individuals who find themselves struggling, trying to pay the bills, and finding it really difficult to save because a lot of these individuals think that you need to make a substantial amount to start saving. But, you know, after paying all your bills and things like that, even pocket change, you know, can start that off. So all ages, but mainly low to middle income individuals because our saving strategies has to be different from the wealthy.
It does. I was watching a program yesterday that had to do with finances, and a young lady who was possibly 20, 21 was living at home and really taking advantage of her mom. Her mom was paying a lot of her bills, and she had run up credit bills up around $10,000 and really was not contributing to that, and was looking at credit cards and easy money without any conscience of how it was used. What is your advice to young people getting into credit situations?
Well, you know, one thing about that, my advice, it has to start actually with the parents. Because even if you're, you know, not 21 years of age or whatever, and if you do have a job, what happens, when we started working, I started, I think at about age 14, 15, and it was part-time. And the fact that maybe I brought home, I don't know, maybe $50 a week or whatever, my mother encouraged us to pay bills. We would pay a portion of rent, and it could be $10 a week. This money she then saved and established accounts for us, but at the time we didn't know. But establishing debt up front and teaching a child how to pay bills, even if it's $5, $10, or whatever, that'll get it, you know, the ball rolling. If you're at home, it's even easier to save because you don't have the responsibility of paying a large amount of rent outside. And so, therefore, you can save money, but it has to be taught, I think, you know, at an early age and not allowing a teenager to sit at home and shop and, you know, buy the next iPhone and things like that. But the responsibility has to be there.
What do you want readers to take away from your work, from this particular book?
Well, this particular book, I want them to take away that the main thing is that you don't have to be wealthy to start saving and investing. You can start with any amount. You can start with, there's various vehicles, and the most important thing is that you establish a goal. And to reach that goal, of course, you have to stick to the plan. My book is a short read, and I made it that way simply because a lot of times, you know, you go into a store, you see a financial book, and a lot of people are overwhelmed with that.
Yes.
I have a short read, and it's intriguing, It's not, you don't have to be financially savvy to understand, you know, what I'm trying to convey in it. I don't use a lot of technical jargon in the book. There's a lot of technical investing things that I use, but I offer a definition along the way for each thing that, you know, I may talk about. But most importantly, I just want them to understand that to live well, you do not have to be wealthy. And you can start, you know, at any amount. That's the main thing.
Can anybody at any, I guess, any status in life as far as finances, whether they're successful or not successful at the current time, can they learn from your book?
Yes, they can, actually, because individuals that's financially savvy, they have a different way of investing. There's a lot of techniques in place, a lot of sheltering in place for them. And I can simplify a lot of the things that they actually go out and pay financial consultants to do for them. And a lot of them don't have to take the time to, you know, learn these technical things by themselves because they do have the wealth to hire someone financially. But I just kind of bring down and make it, it's a strategic plan, and they can learn from what, you know, I'm conveying. There's a lot for an individual that does not, like I said, know about finances. They'll be surprised because I incorporate a lot of things. It's not just the finances that you need. You know, you need organization. You need discipline. You need, there's workout ethics. All of these things play a part because it makes you physically,
energized
and to go out and do these things. So I do believe that whether the financial savvy, you know, they can learn because there's a lot of things they don't know because somebody else is doing it for them. And they would be surprised. It's not as hard as the wealthy make it seem to be, you know.
There is some mystery. Anytime you mention the word money or finances, people, their eyes glaze over. And you've simplified this by even talking about something that the older generation is familiar with and the younger generation has ignored. That's United States savings bonds. You talk about mutual funds, the stock market, real estate, deferred income, investing with real estate, and then the end result, which is you've got a secure future.
That's right. That's right.
How would you introduce this book in a couple of sentences to somebody and get them interested in getting their very own copy of your 122-page book?
Well, to introduce it, like I said, I think the best thing I can say, it's not convoluted. It's a short read, and I basically get right to the point. You find it a lot of finance books. You know, you have to read certain chapters to get here, to get there. Mine's is to the point. It's filled with a lot of different experiences. It's not arrogant. You know, I refer to myself, you know, the average individual, low to middle class. That's how I got started. And also, like I said, a lot of the technical jargon, I do provide a definition along the way. You don't have to close the book and kind of look up this word and see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
A lot of the strategies I do explain in details in my terms. So it's easy to relate to.
Rochelle, how long did it take you to move from pocket change to actually owning real estate, automobiles, things that people are pursuing?
Okay. Well, actually, saving the pocket change, it took me over a course of a couple years. And from there, as I mentioned, I opened a savings account. And then from there, I decided, after all my bills were paid, I started purchasing savings bonds with whatever I had left over. When the savings bond market kind of changed and the interest rates started to drop, I started to get into the mutual funds, which is another year later. After the mutual funds, which is a more, there's no investment that's, you know, secure, stable.
Right.
But it's probably the most stable out of all the things I've done. And from the mutual funds, you know, I started to invest in the stock market, which became very lucrative. And after, I think it was 2008, we started having a lot of financial crisis with the debt in the United States. And I needed something more secure. So then from there, I started buying real estate. And the thing about it with the real estate, I owned one property and actually used the equity in that property to acquire several other properties. So the time frame, it depends. I was pretty aggressive, but it took anywhere from like maybe 4 or 5 years to move into the real estate. So
But the important thing was you had a plan and you stuck with it, and you have pursued.
And it all started from the pocket change.
And you started with pocket change. Simple book, 122 pages, which is excellent. I have a short attention span, so that works well for someone like me. You talk about wealth, the importance of organization. That's something I need help with every single day of my life. I have to look at my name tag inside my laundry to know who I am sometimes. But the title of the book is, catchy. Look What Happened to My Pocket Change. Low to Middle Income Saving and Investing. Our author, who has joined me from Chicago, is Rochelle Melanie. Rochelle, where do we get copies of your book?
Actually, the book is available online over all over the United States with 44,000 retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million. It could be ordered any of those places. I also, my website, it's available, and that's www.rmelanie.com. There's a link there. Also, you can purchase the book. There's excerpts of the book. They're available. So pretty much everywhere.
Have you more to tell? Is there a follow-up book possibly in the works?
I do. I'm working on a couple things. I'm working on a children's finance book.
Great idea.
Have a little nephew, Mylan, and I often talk to him about finance. He's only 7. And we talk, we go to the bookstore, and I'm just waiting when he get of age, and he started asking me these questions on his own. But I am working on the children's book, and also I'm working on a follow-up to this particular book. The reason for the follow-up is because this book is like an introduction, but it covers a lot of territory. In my second book, I want to go more in-depth about savings and investments, where I talk about options and things like that, so it's a little more detail.
Get into the more complicated stuff. Well,
yes.
I hope we get a chance to talk to you about that as well. Thank you for sharing your story about this book, Look What Happened to My Pocket Change. Everybody can relate to that. Thank you, Rochelle Melanie, for joining me this morning.
You're welcome, Jay. Thank you.
For iUniverse, this is J. Douglas Barker.